everybody at church this morning. It is the last weekend of the summer. So with that, let's just get up and greet each other, and then we'll come back and do the announcements. So a few announcements for this morning. First, let me want to welcome our guest preacher this morning. His name is, he's the Dr. Reverend Elijah Zehu. So we're very glad to have him with us this morning and grateful for him to share a word with us. There's a nice write-up on his background. I won't read the whole thing, but please give it a look. A very impressive background, lots of degrees. So we're very happy to have him with us. You'll also see in your bulletin an announcement or a reminder about our church picnic, which is on September 10th. So please let us know if you're coming, and if you'd like to bring something, a dish, a side dish, a dessert, please just write it on the sheet and put it in the offering box, and we'll make sure that that's accounted for. We have activity bags for children 10 and under in the back of the sanctuary, so anytime we have a kid here that wants a little something to do, a little lesson, they can grab that. Remember, the Village Voice is available today, so you can check for your copy on the back table of the sanctuary, save the church a few stamps, or you can go online and find that as well. Remember, if you want to be on the mailing list for any church activities, for example, right now we have a pastoral survey, which the search committee is circulating to get feedback from all the church members about their hopes and desires for our next pastor. So to make sure you're on those lists, if you're not already, you can contact Dave or Carlin, and the email address is up on the screen. This is the day the Lord has made.
Thank you. Good morning, Village family. My name's Julia Coleman, and I'm the deacon for today's service. Before Reverend Elijah offers the pastoral prayer, I would like to ask for the sharings of our concerns and joys this morning. At this time, we will mute the sound for our online listeners. If our online listeners do have concerns, you can post them to Facebook. You can send an email to the address on the screen there, pastor@villagebaptistbowie.org, or you can share it with your deacon, of course. So now that we've muted the sound, please share your concerns and joys now. Yes. Okay, we will now bring back our online worshipers and ask Reverend Elijah to lead us in prayer.
Friends, join me for a word of prayer. O gracious and merciful God, God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, God who has brought us thus far on the way, we come to you this morning carrying so much. Some of us carrying grief, O God, as we continue to mourn the loss of a husband, the loss of a partner, the loss of a parent, even the loss of a child. God, we pray. And God, we give up these prayers to you and ask that you might comfort us in our grief, O God. You might remind us of your eternal love and your eternal blessing, O God. God, we pray. God, we pray for our friends, for our families, for our parents who are suffering from sicknesses and illnesses, O God. We pray that you might touch them and heal them and comfort them and give them positive news, O God. That you might be with them as they go in and out of doctors' offices and hospitals. For we know how weary of a process this can be. God, give them the strength that only you can provide. God, we pray for our children. We pray for them as they return to school. We pray for them as they leave our presence each and every day. And God, we worry about them. We worry about them in the larger macro political and economic climate, O God, in which there's often violence. There's often terror. There's often rage. And so, God, we just ask that you put your protection over them, your shield of protection, God, that you cover their going in and their coming out, O God. God, we pray for all of our teachers, all of our educators, all those who help provide an intellectual and a social environment to help cultivate and raise our children. God, we pray that you might bless them as they return to school. That you might be with them, that you might keep them, that you might watch over them. God, we pray for all of the other meditations of our hearts, for the prayers of thanksgiving, for the prayers of blessing, for our friends who are traveling, for our friends who can say that I have good news even in the midst of my pain, even in the midst of my suffering, even in the midst of my despair. God, we give you thanks. For you are God of thanks. You are God of healing. You are God of love. And you are God of peace. So God, we give you thanks that we've gathered in this place today. That we've been allowed one more day, one more hour to be here in your presence. To be here in the presence of one another. So even though we know that there's so much suffering in our world, there's so much racism in our world, there's so much sexism in our world, there's so much homophobia in our world, God, we still give thanks that you allow us to be here, maybe to speak back to some of that. To be reminded of your presence and your love and the power that dwells within. So God, we pray. Not just for our community, but we also pray for the larger country, for the larger world, for all of your children. And God, we ask that you might give us compassion, that you might move us to action, that you might call us to find the prophetic voices within, to speak truth to power, to name unjust systems that we are operating in and get to see. God, we ask that you give us the power to speak, to live, to love, to be, to continue to carry forth your good news, that the world can and will be made better. For this and for the other meditations of our hearts, even the things that we can't bring ourselves to say yet, God, we give it over to you. We love you. We trust you. We bless you. We say all of this in the precious name of Jesus, the one who sees and the one who frees. Amen.
It is time for the children's story. So if you are a young villager or young at heart this morning, come on up front. I've got a tough audience today. Be gentle with me, son. But good morning again. I want to take a point of personal privilege in that when I was doing the announcements, I forgot to mention that there were several villagers that took part in the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington. Karen talked about that during the prayer service, but it's important to highlight that because the Beloved Community Initiative is something that has become a part of the DNA of our church. And so it's important to recognize that our words can be met with action. So just wanted to note that. So, Owen. What's going to start next week? What is significant about next week, next Tuesday in particular? School, right? So what are some of the things you feel about going back to school? He's excited. What else? A little bit nervous, anxious. Yeah, that's natural. That's natural. I'm sure there are parents online or in the sanctuary that are also very excited about school starting as well. This week we got some school supplies for you, right? You got what, like crayons and papers and pencils, glue stick, and you got to go meet your new teacher last week, which was really fun. And on that first day of school, your teacher may ask you some questions. She may want to figure out what you know, what you remember from last year to get you ready for your first grade, right? But today I want to talk a little bit about probably the most important teacher ever in history, and certainly the most important teacher for us at Village and in other places of worship. And that is Jesus, who taught his disciples, taught them a lot about the kingdom of God. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus asked the disciples in a session, "Who do you say I am?" Now just imagine the disciples being in the room and trying to answer Jesus. Maybe one disciple raised their hand and said, "You're like John the Baptist." Or maybe another said, "You're like Jeremiah or another prophet." But Peter, in the very next verse, was so excited he may have just called out without even raising his hand, and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so why does this matter? I have a few thoughts. I remember some of the things Owen said about school. I can kind of barely remember my school days. And I just had a senior moment during the announcements where I specifically said I was going to talk about the march and forgot that quickly. So that's my senior moment for the week. But I can remember being anxious and nervous and excited. And all of those things are perfectly normal. But something that's very important is to remember again that Jesus is our most important teacher. By worshiping and reading his word, he gives us a roadmap on how to live a good Christian life. But one thing we have to remember, there are many people in this world that may not know Jesus, and we may have the chance one day to answer that question. So let's just be ready for it if it ever comes up. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us all to be together in worship today. We ask for prayer that the school year is a successful one, both for our villagers in grade school, but also our villagers who are beginning new chapters by starting college. Let us pray that in school and in life we remember your words that guide us on how to live a good life, to be honest, to work hard, to be neighborly. In all of this we pray, amen.
So many have called you Lord, but in their heart they know that it's not true, for they have bowed to other gods that they have worshipped more than you. Gods of fortune, fame, and wealth, God of pleasure, God of self. But as for me, my heart's reserved for Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you with all my heart and mind and soul. I worship you. There is nothing I would rather do than lift my voice in praise to you. Now and forevermore, dear Lord, I worship you. Lord, worship you because of who you are and all that you have done, for you're the only one true living God above. Choice is you. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you with all my heart and mind and soul. I worship you. There is nothing I would rather do than lift my voice in praise to you. Now and forevermore, dear Lord, I worship you. There is nothing I would rather do than lift my voice in praise. Now and forevermore, dear Lord, I worship. I worship you. I worship you.
Thank you, Ron. That was beautiful. This morning's reading is Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and sent me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They blazed like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Greetings, friends at Village Baptist Church. I bring greetings to you from your friends and denominational partners at the Alliance of Baptists. The Alliance is proud to be in partnership with your church, and we look forward to more opportunities to deepen this relationship. I'll say more about the Alliance over the sermon, but I'm really grateful to be here. While this is my first time at the church, I've interacted with many members associated with this church. For a number of years, I served on the pastoral staff at Calvary Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., and we often did many activities together. I knew one of your former pastors, associate pastors, Reverend Starlette. I also knew your former pastor, Reverend Emily Holiday, very well. We worked together often at Passport camps for many summers, and Reverend Holiday continues to be a friend and a colleague. And so it's good to be in a place that is familiar, it's a place that I've watched from afar, and to be in worship with you today. Hear these words again from the 118th Psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, God's steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, God's steadfast love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord say, God's steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. And the Lord answered me. God set me in a safe place. And this is why I know it is better to put my trust in God than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to trust in God than to put faith in nations. See, the Lord opened up the gates of salvation to me and let me walk in it. God allowed me to walk into my emancipation. God allowed me to walk into my freedom. Oh, give thanks to God, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Village Baptist Church, have you not heard that the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? The stone that the builders rejected has become the lead capstone. The stone that the builders rejected has become a new foundation upon which everything is now built. And this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in God's sight. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, because the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on the subject, a time for some new stones. Please pray with me. Oh God, we give thanks that this is the day that you have made. So we rejoice and are glad in it, oh God. We evoke your spirit in this place, a place where it is already moving and thriving and being. And God, we ask that we just join in with you in this work of your spirit. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart might be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. There we were, Ryan, standing on top of a mountain I swear I would never climb. Okay, well, in the effort of full transparency, and since we don't really know each other, I shouldn't lie to you, I didn't quite make it to the top. About 5/6 of the way there, 90%, I think. I was hanging out in Atlanta, and my cousins wanted to go for a trip, so someone suggested that we go hiking nearby. I wasn't paying attention where we were going. So it wasn't until we pulled up that I began to get suspicious. I didn't say anything. I initially tried to be a good sport. I went out there, started the hike like a champion, but within about 10 minutes into it, I began to regret my decision. I mean, first of all, I don't love heights. And secondly, with each step that I took, I was taking a step on wet stone. And I found myself climbing Stone Mountain of Georgia. Now, I know y'all are good Marylanders here, so you may not spend a lot of time in Georgia, but I had vowed never to come to Stone Mountain in Georgia. See, for those of you that don't know, Stone Mountain is this beautiful natural rock, this geological phenomenon you can see when you're flying in and out of Atlanta, something I do often. But it was turned into a monument, a shrine of white supremacy. See, for those of you who don't know the full story, there was an effort following the Civil War to rewrite the history of the Civil War and valorize the Confederacy. For those of you interested in school and books and teaching, the Yale historian David Blight has an excellent work about this called Race and Reunion, in which he talks about the unifying myths that were used to make remembering the Civil War safe. And this is no exaggeration. The Civil War was changed from a war over the preservation of slavery to a war about states' rights. And all over the country, including here in Maryland and other places, monuments, statues, edifices were enacted in honor of the Confederacy. Stone Mountain of Georgia was part and parcel to that myth-making, this literal mountain. This giant piece of stone on North Georgia soil, on land that originally inhabited by the Cherokee and other First Nations people, land that once served as a buffer zone between English settlers and Spanish settlers, a land where enslaved Africans turned it into a maroon community where they could hide out in the mountains of swamp. This land was turned into an altar to the gods of white supremacy. See, when you pull up to Stone Mountain Park, you stand before this grand apparatus, you see sketched into literal stone are the images of Jefferson Davis, Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, the Holy Trinity, of the Confederacy. It's almost like this stone, this mountain, on the southeast corner of the country is like a symbol that our country sits on a foundation of white supremacy. It's metaphorical, but it's interesting to think about it that way. I stand before you as the co-director of the Alliance of Baptists, an organization that your church is a part of, among others. We are an organization that has committed ourselves to becoming an anti-racist Baptist denomination. And that's a big feat that we endeavor to partake in. For the history of Baptists is all tied up into and with white supremacy. The Alliance of Baptists has roots in the Southern Baptist Convention, and the Southern Baptist Convention has close ties to the start of the Confederacy. And while the Alliance of Baptists is very much so a progressive, racially diverse, multi-ethnic, thoughtful organization today, we've had to look into our past to unearth it, to understand it. That looking into our past has been hard work, challenging work. But it's work that we believe is theologically and biblically mandated, as Jesus has given us a roadmap to deal with ourselves and our past and to reckon with those things. So here we are. Here I am, here we are, as people of faith living in the world today, as was said earlier, in the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington, thinking about what it means for us to be people of Jesus' faith, living in a place that perhaps still maintains this foundation of white supremacy. Now look, it's uncomfortable to talk about this theme. It's even harder to have this conversation in a room of people that you do not know. But I trust that this is a good space to have this conversation because of the commitments you all have made as a church that are obvious already. You're intentionally interracial, intentionally interested in the beloved community. What is beloved community if not what Martin King was talking about 60 years ago? The idea that people of different backgrounds, of different races, of different ethnicities could come together and sit at the table of siblinghood. So in many ways, time and scripture places this conversation before us. Politics also intensifies it all over the country. Laws are being enacted to criminalize the teaching of Black history. As a professor and a pastor and a father, I might add, I'm concerned about this. I worry about what it means for the structures and foundations of white supremacy to be expanding into the very material that might critique it and give us more insight into a better way possible being taken off the table. I'm concerned about the cornerstones right now. And you know, in some ways, you could say that my denomination, the Alliance of Baptists, perhaps even that your Church Village Baptist. Part of the reason that we are concerned about the cornerstone is maybe because we feel like rejected stones. Small, experiencing transitions, out here trying to imagine a world and a society and communities that are different from the ways that the larger places are structured. Trying to be beloved community in a hateful world. That's tough. And so we might feel like rejected stones, trying to love on people regardless of race, regardless of their sexuality, regardless of their background or citizenship, trying to be beloved community. And so we might feel like rejected stones, and if we do, our scripture passage helps us this morning. Psalm 118, Jesus will later quote it in Matthew 21 when he's having a conversation with the Pharisees. Jesus will say to the Pharisees, don't you remember Psalm 118? Don't you know the scriptures? And he'll bring us back to this text. And this text, even though it talks about the stone that the builders rejected, he says some other things. First, he says, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. And while the psalmist is giving thanks, he's setting up this scenario to later talk about his problems, his distress, the things that are eating up on him. His sufferings and her pains and her agony. The text says that I called on the Lord out of my distress. That the psalmist is concerned. The psalmist is scared. The psalmist is worried about the world that they live in. The psalmist says that I feel like I've been surrounded. It's almost like the psalmist is quoting the prophet Elijah, who said that there are 450 prophets of Baal against me, and I feel like the only one. The psalmist is repeating that. I feel like I've been surrounded. I feel like I'm the only one. The psalmist is scared. And the psalmist, by saying that, allows us to name our fear. Gives us theological permission to put fear on the table. What are you afraid of? What are you concerned about? Heard a lot of concerns in the prayer time. Very real concerns of physical wellness, of social conditions. Those concerns are welcome in the house of the Lord. And not only are they welcomed in the house of the Lord, they are necessary in the house of the Lord. I would venture out and offer to you in my prophetic imagination that our concerns are necessary in the house of the Lord, that God needs to hear our concerns so that God can know how to be on our side theologically. And in part, this is what this text from Psalm 118 is speaking to. After the psalmist goes through the concern, after the psalmist goes through the praising of God, the psalmist comes back to this amazing idea that the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It's a wild idea that the psalmist has to remind herself of. That even though I'm not the cornerstone now, doesn't mean that I won't be the cornerstone again or at another time. In other words, even though I'm in a certain predicament now, It doesn't mean that this is the way the story will always be. Even though we find ourselves in a certain social and political place now, even though it seems as though, and in many ways it really is, the power of white supremacy is expanding. Even though that's happening, that black history is being challenged, that's happening. Black folk are still being killed by the police. That's happening. All of that is happening right now. Those are the current cornerstones. But the psalmist is trying to say that those do not have to be the foundation. That through this imagination of beloved community, through this prophetic imagination, to quote Walter Brueggemann, and through this different way of being, this alternative epistemology, this different way of knowing, a different world is possible. And the psalmist doesn't just say a different world is possible. The psalmist says a different world is guaranteed. That the ideas that have been rejected today, just because they're rejected doesn't mean they're bad ideas. The vision that you all have for the world, a vision of beloved community, the same vision that Martin King tried to preach about at the heart of our nation's capital. And even though it's taken 60 years and will probably take another 60 years and maybe we'll take another 60 years after that, doesn't mean that he was wrong. The faith we find ourselves in, the tradition of Jesus, is one that calls us to imagine a whole new world, a whole new dynamic of power relations, of human interactions, a whole new way of seeing and a whole new way of being. See, that's the beauty in our tradition. That there's room for concern, and there's the possibility of transformation. Speaking of the March on Washington, if you go into DC to Martin King's statue, one of my favorite preachers always says that Martin has his hands crossed and he's looking at Thomas Jefferson as a way to say, Thomas Jefferson, I'm watching you. I like that. But also on the side of the statue, it says, out of a mountain of despair, there's a stone of hope. See that as our call, as the call of the Alliance of Baptists, as the call of the broader Christian church, as the call of churches like your church, to be that stone of hope in a mountain of despair. We can do that through the ways that we love, through the ways that we live, through the ways that we sing and pray and be community, to be that stone of hope out of this mountain of despair. My friends, it's time for a new foundation. It's time for some new stones. And I have a feeling we have everything we need to begin to rebuild. Amen.
Our next hymn is hymn 319, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you.
Friends, thank you again for being here in worship, and thank you, of course, for the invitation to have me be here in worship. As we go, let us go with these words of benediction. Village Baptist Church, may the road rise to meet you. And may the wind always be at your back. May the sunlight of God's love shine upon you, and may the rains of God's blessings fall upon you. And may God, the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, may God, the God who hears your distress and places you in a broad place, may God, the God who sees the stones that have been rejected and makes them the cornerstone, may that God hold you in the palm of her hands. Go in peace to love, serve, and be that stone of hope in this mountain of despair. Amen.